Well, that's the plan, and they that's what you hope. Worse. Is Jalen Hurts getting better? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard today. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. So most of our callers so far are saying, yeah, he is getting better. Twitter poll, though, a little opposite. People thinking, no, he's not actually getting better. That's where I come down. I don't think Jalen is getting better. I don't feel that based on how he's played so far this season. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Jason Kelce on this morning with the morning show talking about what he expects Todd Bowles to do, obviously how it relates to defending Jalen Hurts and the offense this weekend.
It'll be interesting to see Todd's game plan. I don't think any guy individually in our line, I'm not worried about a single thing going up against Tampa Bay. But with if there are receivers out, they can then stack the box, make the run looks more difficult. Todd can give you any type of look possible. He can be very multiple in the fronts he gives, the blitzes that he does. So I think that that's more what I'm going to be looking for. I don't think from like a one-on-one or person-to-person matchup that anything is like that eye-opening. I think that the guys will block really well. It's more about what is that going to look like and how are we going to execute against all that stuff.
Hugh, you know what hit me when he said that? I mean, he's really referencing the idea that they're going to sell out to stop the run. Like if the Eagles don't have their top two receivers, and I mean, I think it's fair to say Covey probably is their third best receiver. He's obviously out. So they're going to have their top three receivers, including two stars.
Agreed.
You know, it sounds like Jason expects Todd Bowles to stack the box, which means they're going to say, Jalen,
Beat us with these guys,
right? Beat us with Jahan Dotson and Goddard. And I don't know, is Johnny Wilson getting run this week? John Ritchie's guy, Johnny Wilson, getting some run? This is a big week for him. Hugh, that's a challenge for Jalen Hurts to try to win with those guys.
That's what I would do. I mean, like, thinking about this, we saw the good game that Dallas Goedert had. We know Saquon Barkley can run the football. I'm taking their biggest option away from you. I'm going to make you feed the tight end. You're going to have – some of those young guys are going to have to step up. I'm not going to put this all on Jalen, but it's going to be his decision-making and that play calling that they make that's going to help him win this game or lose it.
And to your point, when – I mean, Jahan Dotson is going to get some targets, right? He's got to make the plays.
Yeah, he got to make those plays, man.
Same thing with Johnny Wilson. Didn't Johnny have a catch on Sunday
yes,
and he got
did.
A first down? It was like 7 yards behind the first end. He kind of danced around and got it.
Yeah, that he made a good play. I think he also had a pretty boneheaded penalty later on.
He did a hold,
took away a first down. So, you know, a little good and bad from John Ritchie's guy.
Yeah.
Do you think John teared up when he got that first down?
I think so, yeah.
This is really... That sounds about right. That's on brand.
You know, he's become... I forgot about this. You were on vacation this week, Kyle, back in the summer. He's become John Ritchie's guy. But back in the summer when we were talking about Johnny Wilson on this show, a certain someone, you know, invoked the name, maybe he's our Puka Nacua. I think originally Johnny Wilson was Hugh Douglas's guy. That's
he
what
on crack.
Yeah. He was.
He was.
I said,
Richie,
you know,
stole him from you.
He did. He can have him. He can have. We can. That sounded weird. I was about to say, so I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he can have him. He can have him. I would have rolled him until he told me no.
It was about to be a drop. Yeah.
And no matter what I say,
Kyle's in your head now. Like, is Kyle gonna take the audio and twist it around?
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. We'll come back to more on Kelce. More what Kelce said this morning. In a few minutes, Scott and Abington wants to call me out. Go ahead, Scott. What's up, pal?
Yeah, you guys remember that TV show Home Improvement with Wilson on the other side of the fence?
Of course, yeah.
To me, when I listen to you guys, that's Hugh, okay? Because the nonsense that comes out of your mouth, Joe, I can't take it anymore. Yesterday, you're like, oh, there were three passes away from being 0-3.
They are.
But, you know... No, and they're also one pass away from being 3-0.
I know, I agree, but
one is better than three in a situation.
But Scott, hold on. But Scott, it's the truth. What you said is I agree with you. So is what I said. They have outscored their opponents by 7 points in three games. It's they're one play here or there in each game. Yeah.
Should Brett Favre give back his Hall of Fame plaque because he threw too many interceptions? I mean, come on.
Brett Favre won three MVPs.
Yeah, he won three MVPs while throwing a bunch of interceptions.
No, Scott, we have
yes,
a no,
yes.
no, no, he
Why
did.
Why don't you look at the number of interceptions?
Scott, we did this yesterday. Scott, we did it yesterday. It's revisionist history. I'm not going to spend an hour defending Brett Favre in 2024, but you're wrong, Scott. In his MVP,
I'm not wrong.
You are.
You're wrong.
Okay.
No, Scott, you are wrong. No, we did look this up.
Scott, yeah, if we want to just be Scott, children about
died,
it, we can.
I died on this
Scott,
hill yesterday.
In his MVP years.
Same argument I had yesterday. Same argument I had yesterday, Scott. It didn't.
Scott,
I was wrong.
If you want to disagree with my opinion, you say I drive you crazy, that's fine. But if you want to come in hot with facts, have facts, Scott. In his MVP years, he threw like 40 touchdowns and 13 picks. Yes, as Brett Favre got older and less impactful and didn't win MVPs, he was throwing 20, 25, 29 picks. You're right, Scott, but not when he
and
was the MVP.
Still win it.
No, they weren't actually. They weren't. Hold on. How many Super Bowls did the Packers get to after Favre's prime? None. Right, they weren't winning when he started throwing interceptions. That's why they drafted Aaron Rodgers. That's why they moved off him. I don't understand.
And they kept playing him for 3 years while Aaron Rodgers sat there.
That's wonderful.
Nintendo.
And they didn't get to the Super Bowl anymore. Scott, I don't know. Like, why are you mad that I say Jalen Hurts throwing interceptions is bad? Don't we all agree
because
on that?
Everybody is, and you went through that yesterday too. And you just ignore the fact that the other top quarterbacks are throwing just as many interceptions.
Well, they're not. Josh Allen has zero.
Mahomes has the same number, doesn't he?
Who?
Yeah, Mahomes does.
Doesn't Mahomes have the same number of interceptions?
Yes, he does. So we're going to...
Okay,
hold on,
sorry.
Scott.
I love all this stuff. And he's not good, you know?
No, he's great. No, he's great, Scott. We know he's great.
But you're putting your toe on the scale. Okay, the guy's getting better. He gets better every year. He's got another year of experience.
Wait
he's
a second. You think he was? You said he gets better every year. You think he was better last year than he was the year they went to the Super Bowl?
Now, last year was a bad example because of the coaching change really affected him. But he is learning. He is getting better. He's going to be the quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years. Wait and see.
Well, I disagree on that. You think he's the quarterback here 10 years from now? A 15-year quarterback?
I think he's going to be around for a while.
Oh, Scott, I think there's no shot. I mean,
it's a long time.
There's no shot he's the quarterback here in 10 years. I mean,
I don't think he's going anywhere. Well, we can have this discussion in 10 years, but he's not going anywhere.
Well, next year, sure. Scott, we produced a phone call. I think there's a 100% chance, or 95% he's here next year. 10 years from now, I would give it a 1% chance that Jalen Hurts is the Eagles quarterback 10 years from now. I mean, what are we talking about? It'll be his 15th year in the NFL.
For the sake of more context to this turnover thing, Hurts has the most turnovers in football since last season. I mean, it's quite simple.
Stop turning the ball over.
Three more than Josh Allen, by the way.
You know what that argument was? That was like if your kid does something, they say, well, my friend did this too. I don't care about your friend. I care about the Eagles. What do I care if Mahomes...
That is a valid argument, though, when you start looking at bad kids.
That's exactly what it is. Although we don't do
no,
that.
No, it's like when you go to the principal's office and you be like, little Johnny was out there throwing crayons at somebody. Well, okay, what did little Johnny's crew do? They did the same thing. So it's kind of like, you gotta kind of grade on.
This
the
is the excuses
bit.
Hugh used when he was a kid. Well, he threw crayons too.
I was just going with the flow. I was just going with everybody else. And then you know you got that. Well, if they jump off a cliff, you're gonna go too. Maybe. I may go with them. Yeah.
See, this is what I'm trying to help Jalen Hurts not throw crayons at the other kids at the
playground.
You
can't be throwing crayons.
No, there's no throwing crayons. Also, and then we'll move off the last caller. If you're going to call in and say Brett Favre threw a lot of picks when he won MVPs, like, have facts. I mean, how hard is this?
Facts.
Don't ever let facts
get in the way of a good story. That did not stop me yesterday.
Well, you're different. I mean,
So, it didn't stop me yesterday because I threw that same one out there yesterday. So y'all came with facts, and then I was like, I don't hate the fact that you Googled it.
I did like how adamant he was that we were wrong.
You're wrong.
After we presented him with the facts.
Yeah,
it
would
have been better if it would have happened a few weeks ago, but since it happened yesterday, that dog didn't hunt.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you feel that Jalen's getting better, I'm not going to move you off your position. I'm just going to tell you what I feel. Like, I'm interested in what everyone's opinion is. I mean, obviously, Hugh believes that, and Jason Kelce believes it. So there's a valid feeling out there that Jalen Hurts is actually getting
better.
It's
okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree.
And I'm not going to yell at you for saying something different than me, but if you
could...
Well, that's kind of...
Well, we know that's how you roll.
But if you give a fact and it's dead wrong, then, like, what am I supposed to sit here and say? Fabian in Miami. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Fabian. What's up, pal?
Hey, real quick, Hugh, I appreciate it for you checking on me, man. I'm good down here in Miami, man.
Yeah, man, I was wondering because, you know, I got a lot of people in the South, and they were talking about power outages and trees being down and whatnot. So, yeah, just checking on the family.
Hope you guys should be. So, are you, is Miami on the other side? Is it more the western side of Florida? Is that where this is coming in?
Well, it's more on the Gulf. So,
okay.
So we're more on the eastern side. So we just, you know, been catching a lot of rain and wind. And
right.
Stuff, but everything is all right. But, you know what, man? I do believe that Jalen Hurts is getting better. Let me tell you why. I think because he's already been showing it. Like you said, like, okay, with Jason Kelce gone, he has more responsibility on picking up on blitzes and, you know, just different things on the line. And I think from, you know, what everybody kept saying is, oh, he can't pick up the blitz. He can't pick up the blitz. But so far he's been showing that. And then they said he can't read defenses. But for him in that Saints game to understand what was going on in that Dallas got a big play and to change the play, you know what I'm saying? Like that's showing progress right there.
I agree. Well, he's been – Fabian, you look at his numbers against the blitz, it's been better. I mean, Hugh pointed out a couple plays from this past weekend where he hit Covey on a hot route. That is certainly something that's better than last year, the blitz stuff. He doesn't seem as confused, not taking as many sacks. Like, he just feels like he's in a better place with that. And I think a lot of that's probably, you know, with Kellen Moore here helping him out.
And with everything we have to understand everything that he's overcoming as far as, like, with the coaching. And, like, you guys said it yourself, you know, well, how many people have a play in these play calls? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Big Dom has a play in these, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, no. Big Dom calling plays.
Oh, boy. You know what? They do have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Fabian, man, we appreciate the call. All right, Hugh, so Fabian said something there. We're going to get to some other stuff Kelce said this morning in a minute here, but especially about Sirianni. Fabian said something about Jalen and he can read defense, right? Because you mentioned there was that clip out there 4 years ago, playoff game against the – he can't read, right?
Yeah.
And I think Jalen has obviously progressed in that. I think just more repetition, more time, you get better at that. One thing I think it is fair to point out, not that he can't read, because that's unfair, how quickly he goes through things.
Process the information, yeah.
Because I'll go with this. Two of the interceptions so far are the four. It feels like he's just a tick late getting the ball out, and then the ball gets picked off. I think it's unfair to say he can't read, but is he?
Is you got to throw it a little bit of anticipation.
Right. Is it all processing fast enough? Because it's so the game that, moves so fast.
That's a fair assessment. I was giving you a story this morning. Like, my first game ever playing football, we played against the Miami Dolphins. And I just remember I had the best seat in the house. Dan Marino picked us apart. I think the score was like 40-something to 7 or something. But I just remember in that game how he threw – it felt like he was just throwing to a spot. And a lot of times there was nobody there when he was throwing the football. And I remember him coming back to the huddle and he was cussing receivers out. And he was like, well, damn it, I told you to run this route and yada, yada, yada. And he was making plays. He was calling the offense from the line of scrimmage. And he would just drop back 1, 2, 3, throw. It was like timing. And when he would throw it – nobody would be in the vicinity. Then all of a sudden, you would see a receiver cross your face. Boom. First down. Second down. Touchdown. That's just how it was. Sometimes, you know, it takes a while to get to that point. Mm. You see a lot of young quarterbacks. The reason they struggle, in my opinion, is because they're used to those windows in college being open because even though you might have a bunch of good players on the team, they're not all five-star recruits.
Of course,
like, you might have a two-star safety or two-star corner, whatever, and you might be going up against a five-star receiver. And you can exploit that matchup every Saturday. In NFL, it's not like that. Everybody's elite. Even though they might not have been drafted high, everybody has speed, and those holes close up a lot quicker. And you have to throw with a little bit of anticipation.
So I found the box score of the game that he was discussing here, 52-14.
Man, I just remember it was a bludgeoning.
You know whose name is absent from the box score here, Kyle?
Mine.
There's no stats for Hugh Douglas on this one.
Well, is Hugh Douglas okay?
Man,
yeah,
I guess. Remember, but look at it, like, because they were like 20-something in the first half. He was on fire.
Yeah, they got 21 in the first half, and then they got to 52 by the end.
He was on. Like, man, I'll never forget it, because I'm sitting there, like I said, had the best seat in the house, playing against Richmond Webb, getting manhandled over there, and Dan just threading the needle.
Does she do anything for
us? Cussing everybody out. Like, receivers, like, the command that he had of that offense, I've never seen anything like that ever in my life.
He had 250 yards on 16 completions.
Man, he was money.
He's just easy dropping money. Bombs on
he
you
was
guys.
Easy, man, he was easy money. Couldn't move, but he would snap. He would sit in the shotgun sometimes. Sometimes he'd take it from under center, and the ball was gone.
What a great player he was.
He was, man. He was no joke.
All right, so Jason Kelce this morning on with the morning show here. He was asked about Nick Sirianni. Look, it's been a big, big topic this week. Sirianni, the decision-making. And he talked about why, you know, he respects Nick so much and why guys love playing for him, what he brings to the table. Here's Jason Kelce on Sirianni this morning.
Well, I see him every day, where I did. Right. Yeah. I have a personal relationship with the guy, and you see his investment in the team. You see his willingness and ability to make the team better regardless of what's at stake, whether it's personally for him. It might not even be the best interest in him, the way he answers a question in the media, the way he gives up play calling. All of these things that he's done in the past and is still doing shows me that he has an accountability to the team to do what's in the best interest of those guys. He truly loves his players, and he is doing the best he can in trying to make the team better. And I think that, by and large, he's doing a great job of that over his entire tenure.
So, Kelce defending Sirianni and all he brings to the table here, not just the decision-making, but everything. He also went on to talk about Sirianni and what he brings when we're not around, you know, in the team meetings here. Here's Kelce on Sirianni this morning.
I'll say this wholeheartedly. He's the best team meeting coach I've ever been around.
Wow.
But no, he would hold guys accountable. He's showing plays. He's showing what you did well and pointing it out and celebrating it. And he's showing where we need to improve at and what went wrong in the game. And he's putting his name up there. He's putting my name up there. He's putting defensive players' names up
calling
there.
Calling everyone not, out if they deserve it.
And it's not like a calling out. It's just like, hey, we're being accountable here. We need to improve this. There's a level of openness that, okay, everybody is seeing that the D-line struggled in this, right? Because when it doesn't happen in the team meeting, like, everybody kind of knows it, but it's not apparent. Like, now we're going to show this. We're going to show somebody losing a one-on-one in a practice in front of the whole team. So,
and that's
you're
going to
go out there the next day.
Yeah.
You want to be embarrassed in front of all your peers
right
in the next meeting? So all coaches have their own way of coaching. I have seen Jim Washburn say some things to D. Lyman that I'm like, you couldn't say today. Like, I saw him say stuff anyways, I saw him say stuff to D. Lyman where I'm like, dude, that's like, what are you doing right now? Guys loved him. And they would have run through a brick wall for Jim Washburn. It more comes down to, at the end of the day, does the player feel like this guy really cares about me? And does he want the best out of me?
So, look, we've heard Kelce say things like this before, especially about Sirianni. I'm not surprised that this is the reality of Sirianni behind the scenes. Because there's got to be a reason that the guys still mostly play hard for him. Actually, almost all the time play hard for him. The end of last year was kind of weird. They like him. Is he the best in-game coach? No. I mean, we're all seeing this play out in front of us. But there's a reason there that the players like playing for Sirianni. Hugh, what got you there? First of all, you started giggling. Why?
No, I started giggling because when he said...
Best team meeting coach?
Yeah, and John was like, for real? Like he did not... John didn't sound like he believed that. He did, and I just thought that was funny.
So Jason has played for Andy, Chip, Doug, Nick. So that's his perspective.
And, you know, I like Jason. And this is not me about to diss Jason. But you're riding real hard trying to convince everybody else that Coach is a good dude. Like, I believe he is.
I think he's a good dude. Yeah.
But,
I don't know if he's a great coach.
You know, that accountability thing, I get it. I know guys play hard for him and everything. But, dude, that was – I go back to that field goal. Should have kicked the field goal. And some of the decisions that he's made – like, you can't tell me that everybody – like, I think people like Coach Sirianni. But there's a lot of Coach Sirianni, for me, that I feel that when we see him in the press conferences, you can imagine how much worse it is in the team meetings.
But Jason seems to enjoy it, or he did.
Well, I think I think that there's a level of relatability – there, and I think that there's a lot of coaches there that are probably buffers. Like Coach Stoutland is probably, like, I haven't been in a team meet, but I can tell you from the little bit of interaction that I've had with Coach Stoutland, probably one of the realest coaches that I've ever been around. Very, very personable. I think for the most part, Coach Sirianni gets up there and he ain't just long talking us in the meeting. I got a feeling there's some probably some long talking that's going on in the club behind closed doors type situation too.
I disagree because I think the result of what we see when he's in front of the podium is a result of him trying to
bring us behind the curtain.
Well, like, no, I think he's trying to dance around questions and not give you much, and that's where the long talking comes in, where he just sort of starts going on these tangents. I'm thinking when he's in front of the football team, he's probably more unfiltered, like, he can relate to those guys on their level. Like, he doesn't know how to talk to the media. I'm sure he knows how to talk to football players.
I think it's comfortable, too. I agree with that to a certain extent, but still, it's still long talking, though. I mean, it's still some version of long talk.
He's probably more comfortable with his guys, right?
Yeah.
No cameras. I actually, when he got hired, remember how bad the opening press conference was?
Yes.
It was different.
How could we forget, right? That was
the first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
So I was curious if this is who he was, or was he just like overwhelmed by the media? I remember that was a Zoom press conference. I'm not trying to defend him on that. It was bad, but it was awkward. He was obviously nervous. But I wondered, like, because my first thought was, how did the Eagles hire this guy, right? Like, what did they see? Maybe that was a bad day. Maybe that wasn't him. And I dug up, I forget what it was on. It was on YouTube, but it was like a behind the scenes with the Colts when he was their coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And he was way more comfortable with his guys. I could see why they like him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's not likable. I just think he's, in the games, I don't think he gives them a competitive advantage. That's my issue with him. But I could see why they play hard for him and they like him. It's a question of, in the game, can we trust him to make the right call? That's the bigger issue there. 215-592-9494 for good stuff there by Jason Kelce this morning. All right, we got a lot coming up here. We'll get to some Philly stuff, 12 o'clock hour, including now what? The plan. We know they got the bye. They have at least the number 2 seed. But where do they go from here? Plus, when we get back, I don't even know if this is an investigation. We just got to put our foot down on something. There's like a crusade going on now here at WIP about Nick Sirianni and what he did in the second quarter before halftime. We got to put our foot down about this coming up next. 215-592-9494. You can react to what Kelce said. And is Jalen Hurts getting better? Jason said it this morning. Hugh agrees with him. I don't see that. I don't think he's getting markedly worse, but I just see a guy that the turnovers aren't going away. And in a lot of ways, he's less efficient than he was a couple years ago. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Lots to discuss on Sports Radio 9.